you feel well rested yesterday? Did you smile or laugh? Did you feel enjoyment? On the other hand, did you worry yesterday? Did you feel stress? Did you feel anger? Well, these are some of the emotions that Gallup measures each year as part of our Global Emotions Report. And we don't do that just here in the United States, but as you would imagine from what I just said, the Global Emotions Report, we ask these questions in more than 145 countries around the world, involving interviews with over 150,000 people. We're going to talk today about the state of the world's emotions, not the economy, mind you, but the world's emotions, with one of our Gallup experts on the topic. And then for our big number of the week, the percentage of Americans who say that President Trump did something illegal in terms of possible collusion with the Russians. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Frank Newport. We welcome you to our Gallup podcast. We're happy to have back with us today Julie Ray, a Gallup World Poll researcher and analyst who spends a great deal of her time looking at and analyzing data from around the world, including these data that I'm talking about emotions from around the world. Julie, welcome to our podcast.
Glad to be back.
A lot of people ask me when we talk about world polling, how we do it. So in a nutshell, just tell us, 145 countries plus around the world, how is it that we can gather data and basically ask exactly the same questions about emotions as we're talking about here in all these countries around the world? How do we do it?
Okay. In more than 140 countries around the world, we ask questions either in person or over the phone. We ask the same questions the same way, in the same format, using the same methodology, so we can compare results in the United States versus the UK versus France versus Zimbabwe.
And you mentioned we don't always do it on the phone. What do we do? Some places we do it on the phone, like we do here in the US, but some places we still do it the old-fashioned way. We go around and knock on doors, so to speak.
Right. We do the in-person surveys.
And how long have we been doing this global emotions survey around the world?
We've been asking these questions since 2005.
So we have a pretty long history on emotions from around the world, which makes it ever the more fascinating for us to look at. But let's start with the big picture question, Julie. How happy are people around the world based on our measures?
Well, for the most part, people are pretty positive. At least 70% of people felt enjoyment, smiled or laughed a lot, felt well rested, and felt treated with respect. Those are four out of the five questions that we use to create what we call the Positive Experience Index.
So let me just review those. Felt enjoyment, smiled or laughed a lot, felt well rested, and felt treated with respect. 70% of people said yes to those. You said there were five questions. So what's number five? I guess people didn't do quite as well on the fifth.
Right. It's not all roses. Less than half of the world, about 46%, said they learned or did something interesting the previous day. Now, looking at it over time, that's not the lowest we've measured in the past decade, but it's kind of on the lower side for what we've seen.
So let's put it all together in terms of positive emotions in general. You said we've been doing this for a number of years. And I think a lot of people here in the U.S., I know, may be more on edge or less positive for a variety of reasons, particularly politics. But what do we know about the world? Has this positive emotions index gone up, gone down, or stayed about the same?
It's been pretty stable over the past decade, but we've seen it edging downward for the past 2 years. So that's, you know, we need to keep our eye on it.
Any idea why? As I mentioned, here in the U.S., when our well-being scores have gone down some or when they go up, we generally have a sense for what's going on. Any idea why, when we put 145 countries together around the world, we might see a slight downtick in positive emotions, Julie?
Well, looking at the individual questions that we ask, we're seeing some slight erosion in people's feelings of enjoyment. That's been on a downward trajectory. And the current 71% who said that they felt this a lot the previous day is the lowest we've seen so far in the decade that we've been measuring it. And like I said, the 46% who learned or did something interesting is on the lower end. So that's pulling the scores down a little bit. But again, it's a slight downward trend.
So as you say, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I know a lot of people listening are very interested in the different countries around the world, you know, who says they're happy and who doesn't. And I know there's a big range, right, from the countries that score the highest and the countries that score the lowest when we look at all the data together.
Right. There's a huge range. At the country level, they vary pretty widely. So if you look at the top end, you have a score of 85 in Paraguay, but the low end is 48 in Afghanistan.
So that is a pretty big range. Paraguay to Afghanistan. Afghanistan, I guess, isn't shocking to me, given that there's still a war going on there, basically. Has Afghanistan been low year after year after year?
No. Actually, this year, Afghanistan's notable because it took Yemen's spot at the very bottom of the list in 2017. And Afghanistan's score actually dropped a full 10 points between 2016 and 2017. But at the same time, Yemen's score dropped even lower from the previous year, too. These two countries are pretty notable because the scores are the lowest in the world on this measure. And they're also the lowest on record for these two countries in the past decade. And both of these countries, of course, are in extreme turmoil.
Yemen and Afghanistan. But maybe if you want to look at the glass being a little half full as opposed to half empty, you've still got a score, 48 in Afghanistan, 49 in Yemen, which means still, despite all, as you say, turmoil that's going on in those two countries, the fighting, the war, the civil unrest, you've got a lot of people who still tell us that they did smile or had some enjoyment yesterday, right?
Correct.
What are some other countries that do poorly down at the bottom of the list?
Some of the other countries, well, nearly all of the countries with the worst scores on the positive experience index are experiencing some type of ongoing internal or external conflict. So we see countries like Egypt, Serbia, Iraq, Ethiopia, Nepal, Tunisia, Yemen, and Afghanistan, just to name a few.
These are the ones where the positive emotions are at the lowest ebb based on our measures. Let's look positively. Gallup, we like to look at strengths and what's good. You mentioned Paraguay, which is a real interesting country. I'm not sure the man on the street or the woman on the street, if we had stopped him, would have said there's more positive emotions in Paraguay than any other country in the world, but that's what happens. What are some of the other countries that score high, have a lot of positive emotions?
Latin American countries dominate the list typically every single year. So Paraguay at the top is not that surprising. The only countries not in Latin America that make the top of the positive list are Canada, Iceland, Indonesia, and Uzbekistan. The single variable that Gallup finds predicts results on both the negative and positive experience indexes, and we'll talk about that negative in a little bit, is country of origin. And this suggests that there's some cultural bias in how people answer these questions.
And by that, we mean that when we interview people, as you say, in Latin American countries, Paraguay, Colombia, El Salvador, Guatemala, they tend to say yes to an interviewer? Or do you think this really reflects the fact that if we follow them around the video camera, they actually are happier in the day-in, day-out basis?
They tend to give questions about their lives very high ratings. One of the things that we also see with the positive experience index is that these scores tend to relate strongly to the presence of social networks, and that plays a very significant role in Latin American society.
I'm interested to know that Canada's, as you mentioned, up there in the top 10. A lot of discussions about the U.S. relationship with Canada recently relating to trade, but that brings up the question I think a lot of us want to know about, and that's where do we come in, the United States of America, on this positive emotions list?
Well, the U.S. does pretty well. If you look at how it compares with scores in other wealthy developed economies, it's not at the very top, but it's toward the top of the list. Canada and Iceland actually have the highest scores among wealthy developed economies. They score an 81, and the U.S. comes in at a score of 78.
Aha, but still a little behind Canada, as you just said, and Iceland, right?
Right.
Let's look at the other side of the coin, Julie, the negative experience index. And I take it this is where we sum up how many people say yes to those things we talked about earlier, stress, anger. What are some of the other questions that comprise the negative experience index?
Well, we measure worry, stress, sadness, physical pain, and anger. Those are the negative items that we look at.
So what's the trend on the negative side of the ledger? Is the world getting more negative?
Well, it took a decidedly more negative turn in 2017. The experience index was at 30, and that's the highest one we've measured yet.
So by that, we mean the higher, the worse, in other words, because this is the negative side of the ledger, just to make that clear. So you say the 30 is the highest we've measured to date. that means that's the most negative we've measured to date. Is that right?
Right.
We have any idea why? We probably don't know for sure, but that sounds alarming. People are more worried, more anger, more stressed around the world.
We're seeing the downturn mostly because we're seeing higher levels of worry and stress. Nearly 4 in 10 people worldwide felt these a lot the previous day. But we're also seeing some slight increases in incidents of physical pain and sadness. So 4 out of the 5 questions that make up the index moved in the quote-unquote wrong direction.
All right. What about anger?
Maybe that's the one bit of good news, is that anger stayed the same. We didn't see that change from the previous year. It was at 20% this year, 20% last year. But still, that's 1 in 5 people worldwide who said that they were angry a lot the previous day.
That's very interesting in and of itself. So to put this in context, we're seeing a slight downtick in the percent of world residents who say that they experienced something positive the previous day emotionally. And we're seeing a decided uptick in the percent of residents around the world who say that they experienced a negative emotion the previous day. So these things aren't going in the right direction, I would take it. To me, at any rate, that's pretty alarming, as I said.
Yes. And, you know, looking back over the entire trend on the negative index, all negative emotions have increased substantially. If you look at our long-term trend, our index scores were in the mid-20s for a number of years, and now it stands at 30.
That's going to be very interesting for us and other researchers to try to figure out why. I always think about the onset of social media around the world, the dissolution of, you know, tribal relationships, personal relationships. There are a lot of sociological reasons that may be behind this, but I don't think any of us know for sure at this point. So, Julie, when we talked about the countries that scored the best on having positive emotions, we talked about Latin American countries and Canada and Iceland. Let's talk about the countries on the negative side. Which countries around the world tend to be the most likely to tell us that they experienced something negative on the emotional side of the their lives the day that we interviewed them?
A lot of them tend to cluster in sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East.
So, for example, what countries score poorly other than Central African Republic?
Okay, so if you're looking at those, Iraq, South Sudan, Chad, Palestinian territories, Madagascar, Iran, Niger, those are some of the ones that are at the top of the list.
I guess Iraq and Iran are not very surprising, given that there's a lot of conflict there. But as you said, a lot of sub-Saharan African countries. And I guess what we're seeing here is residents in those countries are just having a tough time of it, right? A lot of problems in those countries.
Yes. If we want to talk about the one at the very top of the list, Central African Republic, for a few minutes. That's been in experiencing sectarian violence since 2013. And just last year, they had a renewed fighting between armed groups in the country, and it forced tens of thousands of people from their homes. So you're seeing numbers there that are the worst on record for the world, but also the worst, you know, for any country that we've looked at. Negative experiences spiked in that country. You had 76% of people saying that they experienced physical pain, and nearly as many reporting that they worried the previous day.
So you're talking about the Central African Republic. Just to be clear to people, we actually had interviewers, despite all that's going on there last year and the years before. We've actually had interviewers finding random samples of those residents and asking them these questions, which to me is fairly amazing. But we did it, right?
Right. We did. Now, security was so poor that it did prevent us from talking to about 40% of the population.
So we got to the population we could, but it, I guess, isn't shocking, given what you've just told us is going on in the CAR, the Central African Republic, that those people are so likely to tell us that they've experienced these negative emotions the day prior to our interviewing them. What about the U.S.? We hear a lot about stress in the U.S., worry, stress, you know, lots and lots of podcasts and books and other kinds of communications try to tell us how to avoid stress, which implies that we have a lot of stress in the U.S. How do we come in on this negative emotion index, Julie?
Well, with the score of 32, the U.S. is slightly above the global average, and that, again, is 30. And that score for the U.S. hasn't really changed too much in the past few years, has been fairly flat. again, looking in context with how the U.S. compares to other wealthy developed economies, it's not at the top, but it's in the top group compared with the other OECD countries.
And I just mentioned stress. What about stress here in the U.S., Julie?
Those numbers are really interesting. About half of Americans, so that's 49%, said they were stressed a lot the previous day. Now, this is quite a bit higher than the global average. That's 37%. And if you look again at wealthy developed economies, only Greece scores worse than the U.S. on stress. But it's important to note that Greece is the most stressed country in the world last year.
So although, just to summarize, the U.S. is kind of in the middle when you put it all together on this negative scale, we are pretty much near the top when it comes to self-reported stress, right?
Right. But another important thing to note is that 49% who experienced stress in the previous day is fairly typical for what we've seen over the past decade. So that hasn't increased. It's stayed fairly constant.
Big picture question before we go here, Julie. What's the importance of this data? I mean, most of us would agree that it is important to look at countries and their economies and compare them across the world, because that's a good measure of, at least a lot of people think, a very good measure of how the country's doing. This is unusual. I don't think there's much else out there that has these same kinds of questions about emotions country by country by country. What's the value of it? What can we do with these data? What should we make out of them?
Well, I think if I were a leader, leaders should always be looking for ways to make life better for the people they lead and to lift everyone up. And to do this, I think they also have to pay attention to the softer metrics like emotions and experiences, in addition to other harder numbers like GDP per capita. We've seen that these softer metrics can tell them things that GDP can't.
For example, that we're very stressed here in the United States. Julie, if our listeners want to find out more about it, where can they get some more information about our Gallup Global Emotions Report?
They can see the report on news.gallup.com.
Julie Ray, Gallup World Poll researcher and analyst. She spends a great deal of her time looking at and analyzing data from around the world, and right now looking at data reporting on the world's citizens' positive and negative emotions. Julie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Frank.
And now our big number of the week. 29%. That's the percent of Americans who say they believe that President Donald Trump acted illegally in terms of Russian officials' involvement with him and his campaign in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. In other words, collusion with the Russians. Another 27% of Americans say that Trump acted unethically, but not illegally. And then 35% said that he did nothing seriously wrong. So we've got a majority of Americans who say he did not do something illegal. But you've also, when you look at it the other way around, got a majority of Americans who said he did something wrong, but only a minority, less than 3 out of 10, who say that Trump did something illegal in terms of allegations of collusion with the Russians. That's our Gallup podcast for this week. If you're interested in what you're hearing, we invite you to subscribe to our Gallup podcast. We'd love to have you with us each and every week. I'm Dr. Frank Newport, Gallup editor-in-chief. Thank you for listening.